Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lower Wacker Live for September 24th, 2019. I'm Justin Kaufman. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful day in Chicago. If you listen to this and you're not in Chicago, you're lost. It's a beauty. This is a beautiful day because you could tell I'm one of the guys too, but it's like you see all the stuff about the first day of fall, and yesterday might have tricked you a little bit, a little nice little breeze. And so you bring out the sweaters, maybe the jean, like the thicker jean, you know, the skirt with the tights underneath. You know, you're really getting into that fall look. And then joke's on you, it's 80, right? You're sweating all the way through. The pits underneath the arm, the whole bit, because you thought today was fall, and it is not. Great news from the softball front. I know you've been anxiously awaiting a softball update, but the WGN squad, which is a story that should be told to them from the mountaintops, has won their first round of the playoffs. They beat the Onion 11-1. And even on the one run that they gave up, and I say they because we didn't play, we had a show last night, there was a play at the plate that was close to get their one run. That's unheard of. Any of you out there have played 16 in softball, all it takes is a dribbler to third to essentially get a home run. The idea that they got to throw across the diamond, they throw it over his head, they start throwing the ball around, you just keep running. Scores is not unheard to have, like 26-23, good win. You know, a strong, efficient win. So to give up one run in a playoff game, that is impressive, man. The WGN team, which was defunct, it was barren, there was nothing here. Pete and I were bemoaned the fact that the glorious WGN radio did not have a softball team. And we set out this summer to change that. We got in at the last minute. We campaigned for a new charter. We paid up front, cash. Got it paid back, I think, in WGN Hall of Fame, Walk of Fame gift cards. To put together a team that went out there and hadn't played, and everyone's complaining they want to play 16-inch, they want to play with a glove. Remember that? Oh, there's no glove in the glove. And no one wanted to play at first. I couldn't get a team together. We lost our first game. And then we molded this team and started to put together the haters and the posers. They all kind of fell off. And now this team has come together. And not only are we the number two seed bearing down at a championship with the semis on the horizon, but we are the most efficient defense in the whole game. We were giving up less than three runs a game. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The fundamentals would blow you away. If you are a former semi-pro, minor league, major league player or coach, you'd be blown away by what this team can do. And so we now play. There's a lot of upsets. Chicago now, the big bad rival, the team I played on last year, but I've also been rivals with in the league, they got beat, upset. They were the 3 seed, upset in the first round by a team called the Beat. I'm not even sure where they're from. I feel like I'm mistaken in a lineage, but I believe they come from maybe the Wall Street Journal, when the Wall Street Journal used to play in the league. At the beginning of the games, the media league, if you go back to 2010, it was WCIU, it was The Reader, it was Chirp, it was Gaper's Block, it was Wall Street Journal, CBS Sportsline, or CBS Market Watch, or something like that. And, of course, WBEZ and the Tribune and the Sun-Times. And then Sun-Times are out, or CIU's out, and Wall Street Journal's not in Chicago anymore. So I've switched it up. And so I think this is an amalgamation of teams that have been left behind that they've turned into the Beat. They have jerseys, that's all I know. They picked maroon, which I think is a weird color to put on there, but they're really into their jerseys, that's all I know. Anyway. They're the 6 seed, so we get the 2 against the 6, and we played them earlier in the season, and it was a blowout. I think it might have even been a, if I'm not mistaken, it was a slaughter rule. So we'll see. We'll see how this kind of plays out, but we need to win this game on Monday, and we are in the championship, which will be announced. I believe we're looking at October 7th in Forest Park behind the 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame, and it looks like it's going to be the number 1 seed, The Reader, versus us, the number 2 seed, WGN. Bam! What are they going to do? Turn double plays with their 4,000-word think pieces? Okay, let's get to the headlines. I really only have one news story, then I want to get to the Bears. How about that? Teens, hide your vape pen. State is lining up to ban flavored e-cigarettes. This as the CDC investigates mysterious lung illnesses and the politicians have found cover to go after big tobacco. Next move will be to ban all e-cigarettes and throw you in jail if they even find you with a vape charger. I get it. Everyone's scared because of the cluster of illnesses, 500 plus, and a couple of deaths, 7 or 8. And the big issue is that the CDC doesn't know why this is happening. So the politicians who already want to outlaw e-cigs because of nicotine are using this as their weapons of mass destruction argument to invade smokers. If the CDC comes out and says, any e-cigarette use, vaping or otherwise, will indeed kill you, then I'm all about the ban. But right now, they aren't even sure what's causing this mysterious illness, and most evidence points to a bad counterfeit batch of THC oil, which is marijuana, not tobacco. So I'm not even sure what to think here, and I don't understand why we're letting politicians get away with conflating these two things. Right? Am I the only one? Hey, I can't be the only one. I'm not even a smoker. I have no skin in the game. I have no lung in this game. But I just find it kind of strange that they've been harping politicians for the last year or so about e-cigarettes, really going after the big tobacco lobby. And now they have this little in, which is essentially the same kind of scandal of a fentanyl-based heroin overdose, or when they did the synthetic weed out of the corner stores and everyone got sick off of that. That's essentially what this is, counterfeit batched THC. And they're like, good, no one's going to pay attention to that. Let's just say that this is this and we'll ban it all. That's crazy. I don't understand. I know it's not a, it's a lose-lose for Republicans and libertarians more who don't want big government in their business or nanny state, but this is like right up their alley. And this, how could you be someone who is over eight, is 21 years old plus and chooses to destroy your lungs in a gradual vaping fashion, whatever it is? How can we be in a situation where the government says you can't do that? If I want to drink gasoline, I can. I bought it. I don't care if I got to go across the Indiana border. If I want to drink it, I bought it, and it kills me, fine. But don't make it illegal, and then after I die, put me in jail. Come on. We're at recording time. Nancy Pelosi is speaking to the country about how she's going to impeach Donald Trump, so that's kind of cool. I have nothing to say about that. I think that obviously the facts are coming out, and I believe in the next couple days it'll be interesting if they let the whistleblower actually go on the record and testify in Congress. That'll be awesome. But then again, that wouldn't be the first time. I think they let Christine Blasey Ford, right? She was a whistleblower who came forward on Kavanaugh, and they just said, no. So I'm not sure that that's really going to make a difference. I heard him. He held a knife to the Ukrainian, said, if you don't, I will cut your head off if you don't investigate Hunter Biden. No, next. No, I didn't. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but very interesting that that is happening. We'll see. Luckily for us, we finally get some Trump news out of Washington. It's just been too long. All right, let's get to sports, right? The big Washington story we all care about. The Bears got the big W last night, probably against the worst team they'll play all year. The 31-15 win was closer than it looked as Washington missed two-point conversions. Kind of dominated the Bears in the second half. I didn't realize this, that the Bears have the worst fourth-quarter defense in football. Last year, too. And you really start thinking about that, you're like, yeah, I guess they do. They come out like they're like, they must be the smelling salts or whatever they're injecting in the defensive linemen. The beginning of the game wears off by the third quarter because they're just like, and they're all like, what an amazing defense. They just don't stop. They're motoring. They get to the third quarter like, I'm going to die. I can't breathe. And they're like, that's a 26-yard conversion. You know, like, you know that's what it is, right? Like that. So maybe there's something to be said about that, not unlike musicians that are really like a hardcore, and they're the first ones to kind of flame out. It's kind of like the Bears defense. They have the best all world defense that we've ever seen, but that's because their motor's running two times and they crash even two times worse. Maybe that's something like that. Or Kyle Fuller can't catch, but he did last night, so I'll give him that. All right, well, let's see. True Tribs. That was the story, right? The story of this game was once against Mitchell Trubisky. Tribs, as I like to call him, Tribs, started slow and we're all worried. Then he started to get on a roll and we all let it a sigh, only to try and recapture that sigh when he threw a dumb interception in the end zone and later in that game. But he did throw three touchdown passes, all to Taylor Gabriel, so I guess we'll give him that. So let's get to some winners and losers, shall we? Winner, Khalil Mack. This dude is so manipulative. He knows when the national spotlight is on, and he plays like he's already in the Hall of Fame. Then he'll have a 12 noon game against the Giants, and he'll just be blocked all game. He's like, I don't care. unless Mike Tirico's doing the play, I don't care. If they're not doing a halftime show at Blink 182, I don't care. I can't play this game. That's how it feels. But wow, I mean, unbelievable. I will say he's the best defensive player to ever play in Chicago. Ooh, throwing shade. I know it's a small sample size, but I think he's better than Singletary, Dent, Urlacher, Peppers, Lemuel Stinson. The Mac attack is on. How is he not in every Chevy commercial right now? Right? There's no kid walking up to him offering him a Coke, or in Chicago like an RC. Nothing. They can't do any of that stuff. How is Khalil Mack not the poster child for all sponsorships coming out of the NFL? Like right now, it's all about guys who don't play. It's all Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning doesn't play in the NFL. He's out. Nationwide is on. Like, Mack can do that. He needs to be in every commercial everywhere. He needs better agents. Where's Leo Burnett? Like, or any of the agencies in town got to swoop up and be like, Khalil Mack's my guy. That's ridiculous. I want to see him on 3 of every 5 Ford Tough commercials. And in all of the sitcoms that are on Fox that night. Animation domination with Khalil Mack. He needs to be like a guest on The Simpsons, right? That's next. Yeah. All right, some more winners. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. Not only does he have the best name in football, he had 2 picks and his first pick 6 ever. That's what he said. Ever. In all of his football playing days, he goes, I haven't had a pick 6 since I was playing rookie ball or playing Little League. And he goes, I don't even think I had one then. That's crazy to think about a guy who's a all-pro safety. He's never brought one back. Welcome to Chicago, kid. That's not how they teach you in Green Bay. Right? When you're in Green Bay, they're like, catch it and get down. That's what you do in football. You get down. You down it. Lombardi says down it. Here we go for the with ball hawking. We're ball hawking. That's what we do here. Yeah. Okay. You down that ball right now. Losers. Well, how about the end zone dance that the defense tried to pull off after that pick 6? I guess it was a tug of war, but they were so undisciplined and the channel OB didn't execute the game plan. Do the tug of war. Winner, Taylor Gabriel, 3 touchdowns in a quarter. I think I saw that was a record. I was really annoyed this morning because they kept, I actually tuned in to watch First Take, Stephen A. Smith and company, because they usually will talk about Monday Night Football, you know? And they kept teasing at the top while they were talking about the dumbass stories about the rookie quarterback out of New York that they had to talk about 3 different times and how great Patrick Mahomes is. I'm like, all right, enough of those storylines. Saw them all yesterday. And they kept saying, are the Bears a team to beat? Coming up, are the Bears a team to beat in the NFC North? I'm like, I want to see this. And then it was also, when is it time to fire Jay Gruden in Washington? They get to the Washington part. They spend too much time, and the woman goes, all right, we're way over time. Coming up next, let's get back to Patrick Mahomes, the best. I'm like, what? I want to hear Stephen A. Smith talk about. But the whole time underneath, they kept scrolling something about Taylor Gabriel setting a record for, I think it's 3 touchdowns in a quarter. But he still, what kills me is he had 4 catches for 75 yards, 3 touchdowns. So it wasn't like if you had 3 touchdowns and you're Julio Jones or Michael Thomas, you're getting 8 catches, 263 yards, 3 touchdowns. You're like, that's a game. In FanDuel, you're up at the top, right? That's a lot of money to get a guy like that. But Gabriel's like 4 catches, 75 yards. And like, that's not, no, that's, they're all small touchdowns. Other losers. All right, let's get to it. The feel-good packages on Eddie Pinheiro before the game. For him to be hurt and then come in and miss a kick after they're like, he was just a soccer player with no aspiration. I didn't even know what football was. That's what the piece, I watched it last night. I was a soccer player. I didn't even understand what football was. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll give it a shot. Oh, shut up. Give me a break. And if that's the case, you should be cut. Right? I don't need a guy who just learned how to kick. Being like, oh, c'est la vie, I missed it. I don't know. Is this important? Is 3 points important? I want all of that stuff out of the way, you know, like in high school and stuff like that. Although in high school, the kicker's always a quarterback or the popular kid. You know, you don't have, it's always going to be, and the punt returner and the punter and everything in between. So the winner, David Montgomery, downhill running when he needed to run out the clock at the end of the game. That was nice to see. The loser, the RPO. When Mitch is in the shotgun, the running game goes absolutely nowhere every single time. This last year, too, with Jordan Howard. We said it was Jordan Howard's fault. No, it's that stupid play where you may fake the handoff. Oh, but I'm going to hand it off anyway. That never works. If you just line up in the I formation under center and you hike it and you hand it off to the running back and he's got blockers in front of him, David Montgomery looks like an NFL running back. When you do the RPO, he looks like, Mitch Trubisky, I'm going to keep it. That should be the call for that. That's the feeling we all have when that play comes on. Other losers, injuries piling up. Akeem Hicks, he should be better. But who knows? Knee injury. Gabriel, concussion? I'm not sure. And Bobby Massey got sick before the game. Nice job, buddy. Winner. Did I mention Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith? Oh, my gosh. Holy, best defense in the league. Watching those guys. And two things I noticed, and I want to ask Adam Hogue about this next time we talk. It's like ballet. When you're watching Eddie Jackson and HaHa Clinton Dix, they kind of move in the same way. And on that interception that Dix got the pick six, they both, one went in under and one went over, but it was like they're almost reading each other. And Trevathan and Roquan are the same exact way. If 59 is breaking on a running play, 58 is right behind him, and they're just like they mop up each other. It's amazing. It's awesome. I haven't seen I know Briggs and Urlacher are your top dogs, Singletary and Wilbur Marshall, but these linebackers, I don't know if they're any better. Khalil Mack, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, and Leonard Floyd. It's pretty great. All right, and a final loser, the taped Blink-182 performance at halftime. Are we clamoring for concert footage while we wait for the third quarter to start? It's one thing to have a performance. You're like, yeah, okay, I'll watch this at the Silver Dome, whatever. But that was just, like, at the Barclays Center. That was taped. What is that? What are we clamoring for, a black and white, shade, artistic Blink-182 performance? I don't understand. All right. Next week, the Bears are at home against the Vikings. That should be good. Tonight, the Sox take on the Indians in Cleveland. The Cubs, do you care? Do you really care at this point? Do you care who the Cubs are playing? I think they're playing in Pittsburgh. The only hope is that there'll be a brawl. Otherwise, yeah. Also, Mark Loretta, the bench coach for the Cubs, won't be bench coaching because he was suspended for a game for inappropriate conduct. Too much pine tar? Is he rubbing too much pine tar? How much pine tar was he rubbing? All right. All right. That's it for Lower Wacker Live. Thanks for listening, everybody. Beats by Wes Restless, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye.